Welcome to the Food Matters Live podcast, where we showcase the innovations, the big ideas, and the visionaries in the food industry. We dig deep, we look to the future and the past, and we question everything that we think we know about food. I'm Stefan Gates. I'm a food science writer, a TV presenter, and a gastronaut. This episode was made in partnership with Tate and Lyle and was recorded at the Food Matters Live Tastes of Better event in Ascot in October. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to today's episode where we'll be exploring how we go about bridging the fibre gap. Now, this area is something that absolutely fascinates me because I'm a host of the food industry's biggest podcast, and there's a huge gap between the conversations we have about ingredients and the conversations that we have about nutrition. So in terms of ingredients, we're constantly talking about protein and about sweeteners and things like that, and the desire that companies have to get more of these things into products. Which is interesting, really, because we already in the UK, generally speaking, eat a third more protein than we need, a third more than the reference nutrient intake. So eating more protein isn't likely to have a hugely fantastic impact on public health. On the other hand, when we talk about nutrition, we interview loads of dietitians and nutritionists, we're always talking about the gut microbiome. I mean, so many of the conversations we have are gut microbiome and the impact that fiber has on our health. Now, it's not a battle, it's not a competition between protein and fiber or sweeteners or anything, but we do know that we're not eating enough fiber and that to get more fiber into the diet would have a genuinely important effect on public health on an epidemiological level. So the problem is that discussions on how to get fibre into the diet kind of go back to, well, eat more veg, eat more fruit and things like that, which is a lovely idea, unlikely to actually work. But it's very hard to get people to change their attitudes and the way that they live. So today I'm hoping that we can tackle this odd gap by exploring fibre, trying out a few tasters that we've got for you as well, and hearing from some very clever people. Here in the UK, we have, let's face it, a huge nutritional disaster. We got hideously high rates of diabetes. The obesity problem is now a deep-rooted problem. So over the next 30 minutes, we'll be delving into the world of nutrition. We'll be exploring nutritional fibre and explaining how you might be able to help make this vision into a reality. I'll be talking to a panel of food creators and experts from Tate and Lyle who'll talk us through tastings of fibre-enriched samples. We'll also hear from the British Nutrition Foundation. But that's enough words from me. It's time to get on with the real show. Please welcome our first panellists. We've got dairy category development expert Delphine Ferret. Please give her a big round of applause. Come along and take a seat. And with a PhD in human nutrition and Tate & Lyle's nutritional scientist, Dr. Marietta Saye. Another round of applause, please. Hello, Marietta. Thank you for coming along. Come and take a seat. Okay, so Delphine, let's start with you. Let's start by going back to right to the back of why Tate & Lyle has focused on fibre. To understand, what's driven you to focus so heavily on this specific area of nutrition? I mean, I think we still think of Tate & Lyle as a sugar company, even though I know those days are well behind you. Why are you thinking about fibre when everyone else is talking about protein and sweeteners?
First, I would like to say that supporting a healthy living is at the heart of everything we do at Tate & Lyle today, and where our purpose has probably the biggest impact on the world. You started the show with quite shocking statistics about rising disease. And as the population ages, we can expect that, unfortunately, this burden will keep rising.
And it's a bleak picture, and it seems to have been getting worse for quite a while as well. We're going the wrong way. So what can we do?
Well, there are good news, there's some hope, because some of these diseases can be prevented by addressing some behavioral risk factors, such as a lack of physical activities or having an unhealthy diet. If we go back to the basic and what is finally an unhealthy diet, food provides the fuel and the energy and the nutrients that the body needs to function. So if you face an imbalanced calorie intake or if you lack some of the important nutrients, your health may suffer. Fiber is one of these key nutrients But unfortunately, globally, the average population doesn't meet the recommended daily intake. And this is what we call the fiber gap.
Mm. And we're going to be talking about the fiber gap. Yes. So, but still, Tate and Lyle, fiber? I mean, how does that match up?
Well, with our legacy as a sugar company, we developed an extensive knowledge of carbohydrates and complex carbohydrate chain. And as we divested the sugar business and increased our focus on nutrition, it became a natural evolution for Tate & Lyle to diversify into fibers. So today we have a very large portfolio of fibers. We have very good capabilities in nutrition and formulation. And with that, we think we can help society to reduce some of these rising diseases such as obesity and diabetes by fortifying with fibers everyday food.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, Marietta, Delphine mentioned the fiber gap. Fill us in a bit. What does it mean and why should we be talking about it?
So quite simply, and Delphine mentioned this, the difference between the recommended fiber intake, which in the UK is 30 grams per day, and what people are actually consuming, which is 18 grams per day. So this 12 gram deficit is actually what we are referring to as fiber gap.
Okay, so I mean, that's a huge chunk of
it,
exactly. A huge difference
between
what we should and what we are. So Delphine, why do you think people aren't talking about fiber and the fiber gap enough right now? Why are we talking about protein when fiber seems to be the glaring problem?
Yeah, it's true. Fiber is just the top of mind for most people. People don't understand well fibers, how it works in the body, except if maybe they face digestive issues, and in that case, they will associate fibers with roughage and bowel function, and that's not that fun to talk about that. So there's clearly a lack of education from the consumer side, and this is also probably due to the lack of communication from health authorities, the lack of media attention, and also related to the EU regulation, which is quite strict and limits the communication on food pack about the benefits of fiber.
Yeah, okay, and I think everyone knows by now that we need to have our five portions of fruit and veg a day, and you know, it's a cliche and a mantra. Maybe when things become cliches and mantras, we don't hear them so much anymore, I'm not sure. But fiber does occur naturally in loads of food. So why isn't it easy to encourage people to just eat more whole grains, fruit and veg?
So first of all, we should keep encouraging people to get their five portions of fruit and vegetable. Now, fruit, vegetable and grains are the most common sources of dietary fiber, and we should try to include all mix of this because different types of fiber can actually lead to different health benefits, which is great. Now, the problem is for most people, getting enough fiber from fruit, vegetable, grains without exceeding their daily calorie intake is quite a challenge. Mm. Now, I mentioned before that we have a deficit of 12 grams per day. So if we try to bridge this fiber gap, we would need to have to consume approximately 6 slices of wheat bread, which will actually lead to adding a 430 calories extra into our diets.
To solve one problem and kick off another one. Exactly. Absolutely. Okay, so this is a real conundrum. So Delphine, what is there an answer? And if so, what might it be?
We just want to make things as easy as possible for consumers. And an easy way is simply to fortify with fibers the food that people already consume and eat regularly. So they don't need to change their dietary habits, or not too much, and it will not add any calories. So there's really an opportunity to add value to consumers via fiber fortification.
You make it sound so easy. So can you give us an example of a product that you can do this with?
Sure. First, we need to consider the overall positive nutrition that some type of food brings to people, and we should encourage people to have food which contains the good nutrients. And in that respect, we see really the dairy category, dairy product, as a huge opportunity. Also, if we think of the food that people consume regularly, dairy yogurts, as an example, is already part of the three main meals of the day in several European countries. For example, in UK, it's mostly consumed at breakfast. By addressing fiber fortification in that, you will add easily increase easily the fiber intake.
So you'd hit sort of two nutritional targets in one. Okay, now our beautiful audience here has been very well behaved, particularly gorgeous audience. We've had three already. These ones are really lovely. Now, I think perfect time is now to treat them to their first sample. So, Delphine, what do you think they should try, and can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Let's start with this little cup, which contains what we call fiber plus fermented milk. So in simple words, it's a drinking yogurt. We call it fermented milk because as soon as you add fibers to a yogurt, you can no longer call it a yogurt. But it's a drinking yogurt. It has been formulated by Tate & Lyle using PROMITOR-soluble fiber, which has demonstrated to have prebiotic properties. So just you can just pour it onto the little berries you have here and have it like you would have it at breakfast.
I wouldn't have normally associated dairy with getting extra fiber into your diet. So, but is that weird? I mean, or is that quite normal?
I think for people, when they think fiber, they associate fibers with crunchiness or something that they can feel really in their mouths. But here we are talking about soluble fibers, which actually are really beneficial because it doesn't change the taste of the product that people already enjoy consuming.
Okay. And from a serving of this, how much fiber would you get?
So from this little bottle that everybody has, it's a 90 ml serving, and it contains 10 grams of fiber, which is actually 30% of the daily recommendations, with just only 79 calories.
And that is, 10 grams of fiber, that's almost the 12 that we're after, isn't it? I mean, that's absolutely extraordinary. and that's nearly the fiber gap closed with one little drink or with a bit of breakfast. Marietta, I mean, Delphine mentioned prebiotics. I think we've all heard of probiotics. Tell us a little bit more about prebiotics.
So according to the ISAP, ISAP is the International Scientific Association for Probiotic and Prebiotic. A prebiotic is selectively used by gut microorganisms in a way that delivers a health benefit. So in different words, prebiotic is a food component that actually feeds and fosters our beneficial gut bacteria, and this can lead to gut health and digestive health. And just to add another terminology, besides prebiotic and probiotic, we also have symbiotic. Symbiotic is the mixture of prebiotic and probiotic, which they can either work independently to confer one or more health benefits, or they can work synergistically, so together, to confer a health benefit, which we may not have seen if the prebiotic and probiotic were consumed alone.
And synbiotics, so it sounds like something to do with the bionic man, really, but it's actually about fiber, something really, really basic, isn't it? So, okay, now, Delphine, does adding fiber, this is a big problem, potentially, if you add fiber, do you change the texture or flavor of a product?
No, not at all, actually. All the food product prototypes you're going to test today contains PROMITOR-soluble fiber. It's really easy to work with. It doesn't change the taste of food. It's really neutral in color. And in a drinking yogurt, for example, it helps to bring a smooth mouthfeel, which is pleasant and welcome.
Yeah. Okay. So it seems pretty good to us, and everyone here understands food really well. So I guess we're probably buyers into this idea. But what about the consumer? Do we know if the idea of fiber-fortified yogurts appeals to consumers?
Yes, it appeals. Let me explain you why. The research has shown that post-COVID-19 digestive health has remained a key priority for people. Also, as I mentioned before, people already associate consumption of yogurt with digestive health because of probiotics and history, but also food containing fibers are also associated with digestive health. So it's not a surprise to see finally an interest in fiber-fortified yogurts. And this has been confirmed by two recent surveys we ran at Tate & Lyle recently in UK and in France with 600 people. 80% of the respondents mentioned that they would be highly interested in consuming either drinkable or spoonable fiber-fortified yogurt if they would be available where they shop. And when we asked them why, the answer was that because they found it healthy and because also it's simply an easy way to increase their fiber, daily fiber intake.
Okay, so we've got consumers who want this. We know all about the nutrition and the fact that we need more dietary fiber. So why aren't we seeing more fiber-fortified yogurts available in European supermarkets?
I think it's because protein has gained all the attention. It has been really the fashionable nutrient, especially because part of the population and the younger adults perceive protein as the right nutrient to support their weight management and also to support their active lifestyle. Actually, what's interesting, because fiber can also help on weight management, and it provides also many other health benefits that Marietta will explain later. But as you know, the trends keep evolving, and we see more and more attention really on the nutrients and the nutrient density of food. Historically, fibers have been used mostly as a low-calorie bulking agent to replace sugar. That's great. We need absolutely to keep tackling the sugar reduction in across food categories. But the future is also about considering fibers for what they are, a key nutrient that supports healthy living. And we should start, we will see more and more fiber-fortified food in that, with this aim of nutrient density.
It's just a matter of time, and you think that this will change enormity. Okay, gotcha. So, Marietta, can you dive a little bit deeper into what fiber really can do for us? What's its main function, and is it just about digestive health, or is there more to it?
So, first of all, let's define what dietary fiber is. So, dietary fiber is a type of carbohydrate which is resistant to digestion by human enzymes. So when we are actually consuming dietary fiber, it goes through the small intestine, almost in an intact form, and goes into the large intestine. So once it's there, either partially or completely is fermented to produce short-chain fatty acid, which are actually health-promoting compounds. So we can actually see that dietary fiber is a friend to our digestive health, but of course it is so much more. So the benefits of dietary fiber go well beyond gut health and digestive health.
And okay, so we've heard a lot of, about the importance of looking after the gut microbiome, but tell us about these benefits. I mean, is this proven? Is there science and evidence behind it?
So at Tate & Lyle, we have a dedicated nutrition research team, which means that we invest in research to investigate the benefits of dietary fibers and the health outcomes beyond the digestive health. In order to do that, we actually collaborate and we partner with expert scientists, with leaders, in order to deep dive into the science of our ingredients, of our dietary fiber, the health outcomes, and also for the nutrition science landscape. So we have actually shown that dietary fiber can help with body weight maintenance, something that also Delphine mentioned. It has also favorable effects with cholesterol level, with glucose response and insulin response following the consumption of a meal. And although further research is needed, there is emerging evidence that shows that certain types of dietary fiber can support bone health and also immunity, especially during aging.
So there's a knock-on effect of an impact of fiber in reducing disease?
Absolutely. So all of these health benefits can reduce the risk of certain illnesses, such as type 2 diabetes, such as cardiovascular disease. And as I mentioned, although further research is needed, some fibers help for the immune system to actually function properly.
So we also hear a lot about the gut-brain axis. Now, a few people have explained it, and it's still a bit opaque in my mind. Can you explain what the gut-brain axis is and what the role that fiber plays in all of this?
So I found the gut-brain axis quite fascinating. So when we actually talk about gut-brain axis or gut-brain communication, we are referring to the two-way connection and communication between the gut and the brain via the largest nerve in our body. So what this means is whatever is happening in our gut can actually have an effect on our brain function and behavior. For example, stress can disrupt gut-brain axis communication, and this can have an effect on digestive health or lead to other digestive issues. On another hand, if we are promote the composition and diversity of gut microbiota by consuming dietary fiber, this would also have a positive effect on our mood and our brain function. And again, this shows that fiber as a tool to modify health is actually very important. And for this reason, at Tate and Lyell, we actually invest in many clinical trials and in technologies such as lab gut models that mimic our gastrointestinal tract in order to investigate how dietary fiber can maintain health, but also how it can support health throughout our life course.
And what's the fiber tool that you've used in all of this research?
For most of the clinical trials that we are conducting, we are using our soluble fiber Promitor.
Promitor. Okay, so if we look at the screens now, we've got Annette Evans, Tate & Lyell's Senior Principal Scientist, and she's going to tell us a little bit more about Promitor.
Hello, my name is Annette. I am a Senior Principal Scientist in our Research and Development Department at Tate & Lyell. I will tell you a little bit more about Promitor soluble fiber. Promitor soluble fiber is a corn-based soluble fiber that was developed nearly 20 years ago. Our proprietary manufacturing technology allows us to tailor the molecular structure of Promitor for optimal benefits. The molecular structure, like the size and shape, linear or branched, of the molecules, determines how much and how fast it is digested when eaten and what physiological benefit the fiber provides. The unique molecular structure also dictates how the fiber ultimately contributes to the texture and taste of the food product it is incorporated in, providing a clean taste and texture while not breaking down when exposed to high heat, acid, or other harsh conditions during food processing. We have shown that Promitor soluble fiber has excellent process and shelf stability, even in low pH conditions, such as carbonated beverages or fruit-based foods. It doesn't break down into sugars like other soluble fibers might during storage, so you can be confident that the fiber and sugar content of the product will stay consistent over the entire shelf life.
So the second prototype that you will be trying is a cucumber pearls and white balsamic canapé cracker. So this is a salted snack to actually illustrate how Promitor corn fiber can be incorporated into different food products. So each layer of the prototype that you have in front of you is actually fiber enriched, starting from the salted cracker to the white balsamic sauce, and then to the cucumber pearls. And while our audience is enjoying the prototype, I'm also going to add here, Stefan, that adding more high fibrous foods in our diet, such as this snack, also promotes satiety. What we mean by satiety is that this will keep us fuller for longer, and we will avoid to overeat in our next meal.
But is this a question of be careful what you wish for? Because if you eat more fiber, you know, you up your fiber intake, are there problems? You know, it's a huge difference from 18 grams to 30 grams. Lots of fiber, are there unpleasant side effects? You know, is bloating and other problematic issues, is that going to crop up?
Well, this is a very common question that we get, especially when we are talking about dietary fiber. One particularly attractive thing about Promitor is that it ferments slower compared to other prebiotic fibers in the market. So we have actually conducted a lot of clinical trials looking into the digestive tolerance. And what these trials have actually told us is that Promitor is better tolerated than other fibers with more than two times the tolerance of inulin, even at high intakes of 40 grams per day, and even up to 65 grams per day in multiple doses in healthy adults.
It's a lot of fiber. It's a heck of a lot of fiber. So what's the benefit of that?
Okay, so some dietary fibers ferment quickly and predominantly in the ascending region of the colon. So the ascending region of the colon is actually the first part of the colon. So this means that the gas that is actually formed has to travel longer, let's say, until it gets expelled. So there is more time for pain to develop, but also bloating to develop. On the other hand, Promitor is actually fermented slowly, and it's fermented mainly in the descending region of the colon. Descending region is the last part of the colon, which means that there are less gastrointestinal related issues. Now, Annette mentioned this. The reason for that is because of PROMITOR's branching and chemistry, as it contains a mix of linkages which actually contribute to the slow digestibility of PROMITOR in the small intestine. And that's why we see these benefits.
Yeah. Duffy, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I just want to add that superior digestive tolerance to Mayo is really critical as you select the right fibers for fortification. Because we don't want, obviously, people to suffer from digestive discomfort towards the end of the day, but could discourage people actually to keep consuming fibers. So that's really critical to consider as well.
Now, we're going to say goodbye to Marietta for the moment. I know you're going to be around later on to have a chat with everyone that wants to talk about the science of all this. But for the moment, let's give Marietta a round of applause. Thank you so much. Okay, so far we've heard about the consumer benefits of fibre, and I think it would be useful for the audience to understand a little bit more about how PROMITOR can help with some of their own challenges. So to help us with that, please welcome technical innovation expert Amy Jackson. Hello, Amy. Come on. Very good to see you. Okay, now, Amy, if you can just sit there for a second, because we're actually going to just set the scene by asking Delphine a question first. So before we come to you, we're hearing lots about Nutri-Score and non-HFSS products. Now, firstly, can you explain what these are and what role fibre plays in all of that?
Sure. These are actually two different mechanics, but which have the same aim. It's about influencing people's behaviour and help them to make more informed choices when they select the food in the supermarkets. So Nutri-Score is a nutrition scheme which provides a score that is applied on the food package. And the better the score, the better the food product is supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And HFSS is a policy that has been implemented in order to ban promotion of foods that contains a high amount of fat, sugar, and salt. Again, to avoid exposing people to the food that don't contain the right nutrients. Yeah. When it comes to fiber, both are based on the same kind of calculation. It provides negative points if the food recipe is too high in sugar, fat, and salt. And on the other hand, if the food product contains a higher amount of fiber, protein, vegetables, and so on, then you get positive points. And so fiber specifically delivers 5 positive points when it gets added to the food recipe.
Yeah, all well and good as long as you can add it to the food, I guess. So Amy, I understand you're involved in consumer projects. You're expert in all things bakery at Tate & Lyle. Now, when you're reducing Nutri-Score ratings or developing a non-HFSS product, how does PROMITOR soluble fiber help in terms of recipe formulation?
So PROMITOR soluble fiber works particularly well as a bulk replacer. It does not contain an E number either. It works well because we can add this at a higher dosage. So we can potentially also add a claim for sourceable high in fiber. It's low in calories as well, as sugar and fat works well as a replacement and also for helping towards that calorie reduction. But as well as recipe reformulation and recipe development work, we also offer the support in terms of our customer innovation and collaboration centres, so where we can run analytical trials, testing, for example, and also we offer access to our wider teams, such as our nutrition, regulatory and marketing teams for that customer partnership.
So some grand old claims there. What about the reality? Can you give us an example of recent work that you've done on non-HFSS reformulation?
Yeah, absolutely. So we worked very closely with one of our valued customers, Plardis, and that was on developing the non-HFSS version of the iconic McVitie's digestive biscuit. So that was using one of our fibre solutions to reduce the sugar content by 30% and increase the content of the fibre by 50%. Working in close partnership with the customer R&D, nutrition teams, etc. And also, again, with our customer innovation and collaboration centres in Mold in North Wales and with Lübeck in Germany. And as part of that brief, we made sure that we maintained that the desired texture that the consumers are looking for and also that salty, sweet taste that they love.
Digestive biscuit reborn. I love that. Okay, so now we've got our third and final sample from the bakery category, from your category to taste. Amy, can you talk us through which one? What are we looking at and what's inside it?
Yeah, of course. So the prototype next we'll be looking at is the mini apple oat and cinnamon muffin. So this is a non-HFSS. It was also for Nutri-Score B, and that's with the new calculations as well that have come about this year, which I'm sure some of you would be familiar with, are even more strict to achieve that lower Nutri-Score rating than even non-HFSS. It also has amber traffic light ratings for sugar, fat and salt, and then green traffic light ratings for saturated fat. And as with all of the prototypes today, they've all been developed by our technical experts at our Customer Innovation Collaboration Centres.
So it sounds like Promitor could help us to bridge the fibre gap, as well as tackle some of the other problems and issues that the food industry faces. But is there anything else that you'd like to tell us about it? Anything else that we need to know?
Just I would say that it works so well across a wide range of applications. And also, as Annette mentioned on the video, it works particularly well for high process tolerance and shelf stability as well. So unlike some other soluble fibres, which can break down into sugars, you can be assured that the fibre that you're adding at the beginning remains consistent over the shelf life of the product. So there's no need to then compensate and overdose.
I think that's been fascinating as well as hugely informative. And it's tricky to get that balance right. So I really appreciate what you've done. And it's interesting to see what Tate & Lyle's vision is for the next decade in nutrition and how we might go about getting there. But just before we wrap up, I'd like to know from each of you the one key message that you'd like our audience to take away about what they could now do to help make that vision into a reality. Amy, maybe you could start.
Yes. Okay, so it would be that our Promitor soluble fibre works so well in a range of applications without an E-number. It could be dosed at a high dosage if required as well for that bulk replacement, the sugar and fat calories, whilst potentially adding a positive nutrition claim as well for a source of all high fibre. And I would just say, we welcome you to partner with us on the journey. We're there to support you and help you on that journey to improve the health of the nation.
Okay, Delphine?
Yes, there's a real opportunity, both from a commercial and nutrition perspectives, to fortify food with fibers. The more product we will see in the supermarkets, the more communication there will be around fibers, the more consumers will pay attention to their daily fiber intake, and that's important. Promitor is an easy solution to work with, as mentioned several times by Amy. And just in case you would still need to have some help to increase the nutrient density of the food you manufacture, we are welcoming any partnership. We have the right capabilities in place, so you're welcome.
Fantastic. I'd like to say a big thank you to all of our experts, Marietta, Delphine, and Amy, for sharing their insight and knowledge on this fascinating subject. A round of applause for all of them, please. I'd also like to thank you, the audience, for being very well behaved and for sticking with us and for sharing the insight and the knowledge. Now, all of our experts will be here to stick around and have a chat about anything that you want to chat about, talking about Promitor. But I think we've learned a huge amount, and I certainly have. So until next time, thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed this episode made in partnership with Tate & Lyle. If you did, there are hundreds more at foodmatterslive.com. Remember, if you enjoy the Food Matters Live podcast, you can subscribe via your preferred platform. And if you feel inclined, why not leave us a review? Thank you so much for listening.